Welcome to the 51st episode of the 10-Minute Math Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the standard algorithm for multiplication. Now let's get started.
Last week we discussed the term standard algorithm for addition. If you missed it, you may want to go back to episode 50 to get the details. Today's question is about the standard algorithm for multiplication. As parents, you were probably taught procedures for how to multiply larger numbers at school by a teacher. And all of you parents that grew up in the United States, you probably learned the exact same way to multiply, and teachers call it the standard algorithm for multiplication.
As I mentioned in our last episode, the definition of algorithm is a set of steps that gets you a result or answer. A standard algorithm for multiplication is a set of steps that takes two numbers and finds the product. Just like the standard algorithm for addition, the standard algorithm for multiplication may be different in China and other countries. So is there only one way to multiply? The answer is no.
Jan, definitely no. Okay, so we're going to use the standard algorithm for multiplication that is taught in the United States to give you an example. So you may want to pause just for a second. Go grab a piece of paper and a pencil so that you're able to follow along. Okay, hopefully you're ready. All right, let's multiply 32 times 6. First, you were taught to line up the numbers vertically, making sure the corresponding place value are directly on top of each other. In this case, the 6 is directly above the 2 in 32. Then we would multiply the 2 and the 6 to get 12 and record the number 2 in the ones place and place the 1, which represents the 10, above the 3 in the number 32. Next, you would multiply 3 and 6, which actually represents 30 times 6, and then add the extra group of 10 to get 19, which represents 190. So the final answer is 192.
Yep, that's the way I was taught to multiply in school. As a result of teachers modeling only the standard algorithm for multiplication, children think math is all about memorizing procedures and getting answers. Children do not necessarily make sense of the problem because they only know one way to solve it. Children certainly did not have an opportunity to develop number sense.
Yeah, Jan, a student that forgets one step of the procedure, let's say a student forgot to place the 1 above the 3, may have gotten the answer of 182 and not realized that that was a mistake. A student with number sense, however, may have estimated the answer by thinking about 6 groups of 30, which is 180, and realized that 32 groups of 6 would have to be much greater than 182.
That is why teachers were so focused on students knowing their basic facts. If a student didn't know all of their basic facts, the student would struggle with the standard algorithm where they focus on multiplying only one-digit numbers, not understanding that those digits represented something else. For example, when a student was multiplying 32 times 6 in our example, he or she may not have considered that the 3 in the number 32 actually represents 3 groups of 10 or 30.
So you are talking about the place value of numbers. In other words, 32 is actually 3 groups of 10 or 30 and 2 ones. Jan and I still believe that children should know their basic math facts from memory, but focusing only on the basic facts will not support your child in understanding higher level math concepts. Number sense is so important.
Exactly. In fact, a student with number sense could do that problem a different way. Using our 32 times 6 example problem again, a student could break apart the 32 into 30 and 2 and multiply each of those numbers separately by 6. In school, teachers refer to this as the distributive property. 30 times 6 is 180, and 2 times 6 is 12. So the result is 180 plus 12, or 192. It is called the distributive property because you are distributing the 6 to both the 30 and the 2. Breaking apart a number into its place value is actually another method for multiplication. But when we went to school, this method was not an option. And as a result, many students did not understand multiplication.
That is so true. Okay, the standard algorithm for multiplication gets even more confusing when we multiply a two-digit number by another two-digit number. All right, let's try another one. You got your paper? Let's try 24 times 18. Okay. So to perform the algorithm, you would write the numbers vertically, one on top of the other, lining up the 4 and 8 in the ones place, and the 2 and 1 in the tens place. Next, you would multiply the 4 and 8 to get 32 and record the 2 in the ones place and put the 3 above the 2 in the number 24 on top. That 3 represents 3 groups of 10, so it goes in the tens place. Then you would multiply the 8 and 2, which is actually 8 and 20, and add the 3 extra groups of 10 to get 19, writing the 19 before the 2. Then that 0 is written in the 1's place as a placeholder under the 2. Students can memorize this step, but it is quickly forgotten if they don't understand it. Then they multiply the 1, which is actually 10 by 4, to get the 4 and record it in the tens place before the 0. Next, multiply 1 times 2, which is actually 10 times 20, to get 2 and place it before the 4 in the hundreds place. Finally, we add the 192 and the 240 to get 432. A common error teachers see all the time is that students forget to cross out the number they wrote on top of the tens place with the first calculation, and then they accidentally add the number twice, resulting in an error.
That algorithm has so many steps that children can easily get mixed up. A child with number sense might think about 24 groups of 18 as starting with 2 groups of 18 or 36. So 20 groups of 18 would be 360. And if 2 groups of 18 is 36, we can double the 36 to get 4 groups, or 72. Finally, we add our 360 and 72 by breaking down apart the 72 into 40 and 32 and adding the 360 and 40 to get 400, and then adding 32 to 400 to get the same 432 answer. In other words, children can use number relationships and be creative to solve multiplication problems in a way that is efficient and makes sense.
Wow, that's flexibility. That's great. Okay, this is exactly why teachers don't start students out by teaching the standard algorithm for multiplication anymore. There are lots of ways to multiply, and teachers today want students to be flexible and creative thinkers. If students learned the algorithm first, they would stop thinking and just perform the memorized step.
We are not saying teachers should never teach the standard algorithm for multiplication that is used in the United States. We are saying that teachers should teach students to understand the concept of multiplication and allow students to create their own ways of solving problems before learning the one way that always works.
Like we said last week, we don't think we should force a child in the U.S. to use only one method when other countries are using different methods.
Having number sense has to do with flexibility in playing with numbers. Knowing several ways to multiply numbers and then choosing one that makes the most sense with the numbers given is the definition of a flexible thinker. Number sense is about finding patterns and making sense of numbers. Colleen and I want all children to have number sense and be flexible in their thinking.
If you want to learn more about supporting your own child and building number sense, head over to our website at 10minutemath.com. That website again is tenminutemath.com. Bye for now, and thanks for
making math fun.